This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Lighting of the Advent candle of love. Love is more than a flicker within the human heart. In a hurried world with little time for others, Advent calls us to remember that
love is patient.
In a world where we often are quick to anger and slow to forgive, Advent calls us to remember that
love is kind.
In a world where often we are quick to anger and slow to forgive, Advent calls us to remember that
love is kind.
Advent season, we affirm together that
light four candles to watch for Messiah.
Please pray with me. Lord of all life and all seasons, help us open our hearts to hear the words of promise and love that you send to us. Like Joseph, may we trust in your abiding love and power. Prepare us to receive your gift of grace and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and verses 10 to 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted."
Just a little bit of context here. Our Old Testament lesson is set sometime around 700 BC. This is during what is known as the Syro-Ephraimite Alliance. Syria and Ephraim are trying to attack Judah. And the prophet says to Ahaz, "God will deliver you from this. What sign do you want God to give you that God will deliver you from these two kings?" And Ahaz, in a moment of piety or stupidity or something, nobody's quite sure what, says, "Oh no, I will not make a demand of God. Well, I just told you to make a request. Why don't you go ahead and do it? All right, if you won't do it, then the Lord will give you a sign. And the sign is that the young woman," and it's a young woman who is already with child, right? That's very clear in the Hebrew. The young woman, that one right over there, who is already with child, is going to bear a child. And here is the sign. The child will be a son. And within just a few years, when the child is old enough to know, do this, don't do that, the child will be eating honey and curds, which is pretty high-class food, okay? This is not your average run-of-the-mill baby formula mix, right? This, this is high class stuff. Wow, you're eating honey and curds. So the idea is that within just a few years, these two kings will wear themselves out. Now, in the Matthew text that we're going to come to in just a moment, Matthew is going to quote from Isaiah. And it's going to feel to us like he's just pulling this out of the air, because clearly Isaiah is saying to King Ahaz, here is what is going to happen now. But the early church understood, yes, this is about back then, but it's also pointing forward to the time of Jesus. So this was a very normal use of Old Testament scripture in the early church. Matthew is not doing anything particularly strange in the way he uses the Old Testament. What you and I are going to notice is that in Matthew's text, it is not the young woman, right? He's going to quote Isaiah as saying, behold, the virgin is with child. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how the church evolves over time. It was that sermon about the paddles and the walking sticks. Who remembers that sermon? Wow, we're all visitors today. How amazing. Okay. Go back and review that sermon. It was actually rather brilliant. Yeah, you can tell. Feeling the love here, gang. I said in that sermon that at the start of the church in about 30 or so AD, when Jesus is crucified, Jesus' followers are primarily rural. They speak probably Aramaic at home, but they read their scriptures in Hebrew. But by 100 AD, the church has become thoroughly urban, and people are reading and writing and speaking in Greek. They are reading their scriptures in Greek. They are reading the Greek translation of what we call the Old Testament. The Greek translation is called the Septuagint. You want to know why? I'll tell you sometime. Just ask me. Matthew is, the scholars' general consensus is, Matthew is writing about 90 AD, and he's writing in Greek, probably in Syria, okay? And he is reading his Old Testament. He's reading his Isaiah in Greek. And the Greek translation for that Hebrew word, the young woman, the Greek translation is Parthenos, which is the Greek word for virgin. If you go to Athens, Greece, and you visit the Parthenon, you have gone to the temple of Athena the Virgin. That's all that is, okay? So when I say that, just that little bit of background there to bear in mind, and that will explain what to me was always very confusing, and until I got to school and actually had a chance to study it in a little more depth. Thank you, ma'am. Reading now from Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, what we just read, right? spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Friends, this is the good news of God for us this day. Thanks be to God. When we meet Joseph in our scripture lesson this morning, he is in a pickle. Joseph is in a bind. He is on the horns of a dilemma. Joseph is engaged to a woman named Mary. Mary is pregnant. At this time, an engagement was as legally binding as a marriage. You lived separately, but you were expected to be true to each other. Not being faithful, even though you were not married, was as serious as adultery. What is Joseph going to do? How's he going to respond? We know Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, but Joseph doesn't. What's Joseph going to do? How is he going to respond? Well, Joseph is a righteous man. He is legally and morally upright. He knows the law and what it expects of him. Okay, then, Joseph, get on with it. Break the engagement. But even though Joseph knows the legally correct thing to do, he is also compassionate. He's not a hard man. He's not a cruel man. He knows what's expected of him, but he also cares about Mary. He knows everyone will laugh at him. The community will berate him. His standing in his personal and professional circles will never recover. But at the same time, he cares about Mary. And so he decides to do what he believes he must do, but to do it as quietly and with as little fuss as possible. Regardless of the harm to his own reputation, Joseph wants to do as little harm to Mary's as possible. Joseph is righteous. He is also caring and compassionate. Well, is Joseph doing the right thing? I mean, he can't be sure. He doesn't know this child is the work of God. All he knows is his fiance is pregnant and he is for sure and for certain not the father. Have you ever been in this kind of situation? Not exactly like this, yeah, but someone you trusted wounded your pride, your dignity, left you feeling hurt and angry, made you a public laughingstock, trashed your reputation, used you so bad you wanted to leave town. Maybe you did leave town. Have you ever been in this kind of situation? Well, just as Joseph has decided to act, an angel speaks up. "Joseph, it's okay. Go ahead, make Mary your wife. The child, this child will be salvation. And you are to name him Jesus." Now, our word Jesus is the English equivalent or the English version of the Hebrew word Joshua. Joshua. In Hebrew, it sounds more like Yeshua, Okay, my Hebrew pronunciation, I'm told, is okay, but it's not great. But it's Yeshua, okay? Joshua, Yeshua, means Yahweh, the Lord. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua, means the Lord is salvation. Now pay close attention, because this is what Matthew is driving at. Jesus is Yeshua. Jesus is the Lord who is our salvation. This is important, okay? This is key. Write this down. Write this on your bulletin. Take this home. Remember this. Remember it today and every day. That Jesus, the word Jesus, is not just a name like Ken or Bill or Larry or something like that. It means something specific. It means the Lord is salvation. Jesus is the Lord who is our salvation. But wait, it gets better. Jesus, Yeshua, is more than our salvation. Matthew goes on, drawing from Isaiah, like we said, Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. Again, this is Hebrew, Immanuel. Immanuel, with us. El, God. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, the with us God. Matthew's point is, in Jesus, God will save us. In Jesus, God is with us. Jesus, the God who saves, is always with us. And this is why Christmas matters. Christmas celebrates the birth of our Savior. Christmas celebrates the human birth of the God who is always with us. Jesus is Yeshua, the Lord who is our salvation. Jesus is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Friends, when everyone and everything that we've trusted turns against us, we know God is with us. When everyone and everything we've trusted leaves us high and dry, flapping in the breeze, we know Jesus is our Savior, who is always, always with us. We are not alone. The Lord is our salvation. Our God is not distant, right? Far, far away in our time of need. Our God is always, always with us. And maybe that's what Joseph thought. You reckon? Maybe when he heard the angel, that's what Joseph thought. God is my salvation. God is with me. I can do this. I can do this. And so he does. Joseph takes Mary as his wife. When the child is born, he does what he is told to do. He names the baby, the Lord saves, because this baby is God with us. Personally, until this week, I had never actually thought much about Joseph as a role model. But I do now. For those times we feel betrayed, those times we struggle between righteous anger and compassion, those times we struggle between caring for someone else's reputation and caring for our own, those times we struggle about protecting someone else and protecting ourselves, those times we look back in anger at those who trashed us in public and made us a laughingstock, when those times come, and they surely will, we know in Jesus, the Lord is our salvation. We know in Jesus, God is with us in every hurt and pain and moral conundrum in which we find ourselves. In the excruciatingly hard decisions of life, we know our Savior is with us. The good news of God is God has sent us a Savior, and this Savior is always with us. When we find ourselves standing in Joseph's shoes, and when we do not, Emmanuel, our with us God, is with us. At the very first Christmas, Joseph made an important decision. He stepped out in faith. Joseph knew Yeshua, the Lord saves, is also Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Joseph knew God was with him in this very important decision. This Christmas, do you have a decision to make? Are you in a pickle, in a bind, on the horns of a dilemma? Are you torn between the right thing and the compassionate thing? Between revenge and mercy, between public humiliation and doing the will of God. This Christmas and every Christmas, remember Jesus is Yeshua, the Lord saves. Remember Jesus is Immanuel, God with us. Remember, Jesus is the God who saves us and is with us every day. May we remember and then step out in faith. Amen.
Oh, come in my and ransom captive Israel that was in lonely as a deer, until the Son of God appeared.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.